Dear Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to see purpose, see your plan. We just ask for concentration and understanding today. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we left off talking about Proverbs 12:25, which says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." And that brought up an important point for us about the Word of God in our lives and how we grow in this relationship that we've been introduced to by grace and continue to be poured out, you know, with love in this relationship, even though we're always the ones that are struggling to keep up and rejecting at times and just kind of go in and out, but God always seems to just pull us right back in, draw us right back in. So, and I think the underlying, you know, thing about this, we all know that Scripture tells us without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when we worry, we are expressing faith in what we're actually worried about. So when you think about it's impossible to please God. We all want to please God. There's no doubt about that. And part of that means relying on the one you love. Relying on the one you love. That goes hand in hand. It goes with human relationships in certain aspects. And it goes for 100% in the direction of God. He wants you to rely on Him. Remember, He doesn't want you to necessarily put all your cards in the person, but He does want you to put all your cards in Him. And so faith in God, because without faith it's impossible to please Him. And so Romans 14:23 says that anything that is not of faith is sin. So not to mention, we know worry is simply a mild form of fear. So in a sense, that is, worry is a sin. Because we're not trusting, we don't have faith in God Himself. So in verse 6, we then have a contrast here. It says, be anxious for nothing, and then it says, but. There's your contrast. Contrast of conjunction. So instead of being anxious, he's rolling a strong contrast here. He's saying, but do this. And then he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there's a contrast between worry and anxiety, and then let your request be made known to God. There's your contrast. And that's a very large black and white contrast. And God always gives us a better way, doesn't He? And in this case, what He's doing is He's giving us a solution. He's giving us a solution right here. At least one solution. I'm sure there are many others in Scripture, but this is definitely one solution that He's saying. Instead of doing this, worrying and thinking about something that you're not solving, you're actually growing farther away from Me. Instead of that, do this. Let Me know about it. Talk to Me about it. Allow Me to fix it. Trust Me in this situation. So what we're seeing here is something that requires something from you. It requires your positive volition in the Word of God. Because without positive volition, you will not have any faith. You have to know your Savior before your faith will strengthen to the point of trust. You don't trust a stranger, at least as far as you can throw them. But when it comes to God, the concept still applies. We know He's God. We know we should trust Him. But the fact of it is, sometimes we don't. And when we don't, the underlying issue is always our spiritual life. Always. It's our receptiveness to the Word of God, because that's what strengthens your faith right there. Knowing Him. Knowledge about God strengthens your faith, and not only knowledge, but seeing that come to fruition in your life. That's the applicational part of that. not just the knowledge. Remember, the Holy Spirit takes that and makes it wisdom and allows us to apply the Word. That's where your faith is strengthened, because you see the process all the way through. You can see it coming from the Word of God going through your soul. And then now you're able to see God working out in your life, and you're saying, wow, this is what He can do. He can resolve this problem that I was so worried about just like that. He was just waiting on a, you know, give it to Him. He was waiting on that timing. He'll allow you to test yourself if you want to. So, a strong contrast. But there's an obvious ultimatum here when it comes to worry. Because being that we are commanded not to worry. So, and then it goes, be anxious in nothing but in everything. Everything. We seem to forget the nothing and the everything. Those are very important words, because they exclude and they include everything versus nothing. That's important. I could skip right over those and we'd never even think twice about them. But if we do, we're going to include things that shouldn't be there, and we're going to exclude the things that should. But these words are doing just the opposite. They're showing us that it's very clear. It's very easy. It's not like God has said, okay, I'm going to make some exceptions for you, and I'm just going to include or exclude. No, He says, in nothing, worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So that's part of the God's grace, I feel, is just allowing us to see in His words how easy it is to just understand this stuff and apply it to our lives if we want to. You got to have a desire, have a want, because it's all here. God doesn't conceal anything. And I'm not speaking in Latin to you. So it's clear. It's very clear. We can all see it. We understand it. All those things you tend to worry about are included in the nothing. That's everything. So then we have another imperative on what to do with those things we tend to worry about. Some of the big ones: finances, health, your own abilities, we tend to worry about performance. How about when you think about all what you have to do by a certain time, deadlines? All that's included here. All that. It then commands us to take these things or whatever requests that we could worry about and make them known. Make them known. Don't keep them in. It's not saying go tell your friend, although you may do that. I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong or sinful, but know for a fact that's not a solution. That's not a solution. There's nothing wrong with talking or getting advice from believers, but that's not going to be your source of solution. This word is only found two other places in Scripture. The word here is request, is the one I'm talking about, not the one highlighted. It's request. It means petition, request, or what is required. See, we always think there's something that's required in the things that we're worrying for. Whether it's something's not there that we need, or something's out of whack that needs to be put in place. The timing is off. See, we always think something is required. Those things are included in the request. Those are the things that we need to make known. That's why the imperative is here. It's trying to be all-inclusive, not just in the everything or the nothing, but in the actual command, in the what it means. It's saying what you need, what's lacking, what you feel you need, let me know. That's what we're talking about. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So this says according to His will. The word will here, thelema, means This is usually translated will or desire, and it means what one wishes to happen, a desire. And there is a confidence. Notice there's a confidence part of this that comes with knowing God's will for your life. That's confidence. The only way to be confident in God's will for your life is to have a desire to be a part of it. That is it. You're not going to know anything if you don't want to know it. Right? If you don't have a desire to know God's will, we can't just sit over there and point and say, I wish I knew what I was supposed to be doing. And that's where you stay. Because we can stay in that position of just asking and questioning and not knowing and all these things. But the point about it is, what are you going to do about it? Because it's here. God wants you to know His will for your life. But we have to want to know it. We got to want to know it. And with knowing that, remember, it's not going to be like an envelope that comes mailed out to you. And all the numbers are listed and say, here's God's will for your life. We have it in Scripture. So it's going to unfold before your eyes as you walk and live through the Christian way of life. That's how it is. Time. It's bound by time. We can't get it all at once. It takes time. Pieces, chunks, God's will. And then this is where, as we see this unfold and we see what God has for us, we see what we're good at, we see where we serve, that's where we find our purpose. And everybody here has a purpose. As much as you say, no, I'm done. I've done this, that, and other. God kind of threw me on the side and this is where I'm at. Nope. You have purpose. If you're alive, your heart is beating, you've got purpose. That's a fact. And it's just as important or even more important than any preacher or anybody in ministry. I don't care what anybody tells you. You have a soul. You're growing spiritually. And there's a lot of people that aren't growing spiritually. So what does that do to you? It puts the emphasis on the positive believers. So we need to become aware of that. Yes, you are in a program that requires more of you. You're in an accelerated spiritual growth program. And God is going to start using you, if you allow Him to do that. Just have a desire for it, because you are the minority. I always say that, but it's so true. It is so true. People want more than just the Word. But we know that's where the source, the solution is to everything. That's where it is, everything. So start finding your purpose in life, not just by sitting here taking in the Word, although that's part of it. That is a big part of it. That is a must. We must have that also. But you have to want to see these things play out in your personal circumstance, where you live, at home, with what you have in your life right now. We always have a tendency to say, well, I'll start to do this and I'll get better when I have this. No, that's not how the plan works. He wants you good and efficient and streamlined right now in your current circumstances. That includes whatever you have or you don't have. See, we're not ever left without anything we don't need. And God knows that. You might think you need it, but the question is it part of God's will? It might not be. It could be a distraction in your life. I don't know. You know. You know your spiritual life and you know what direction you lean. You know how weak you are in one direction. Hey, come over here. Okay, I'm gone. Gone for 2 or 3 weeks. A little bit of sun, sand might just trip you all up. I don't know. You know. So, another thing about this is we've got to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit and take advantage of the power of faith in your life, because that's the only way you can observe God's plan unfold. That is it. You will not see God's plan for your life if you don't stay on top of managing your sins. And that doesn't mean climbing a mountain. That doesn't mean going into a confessional. That doesn't mean anything that we can do physically. It means just what the Scripture tells us. Confess them. Name them, admit them. That's easy. God made it easy for us. But also with that easiness comes great responsibility. He allowed us to have that so easy to confess, but we can't use that as an excuse to do what we want. That's a lot of people's argument, what they say about confession. They say, well, you just confess and go do what you want. Come on. That's not even logical. God doesn't work like that. He's not, you know, some God and we can trick him. Oh, if I confess, then I can go do what I want. Really? I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. It's amazing. So notice this doesn't say your will. It says his will. There's a big separation there. A big separation. According to his will. Ask anything according to his will. We can pray until we're blue in the face according to our own will. According to our own will. The word will here means a desire or wish, and it's referring to what God desires, what he prefers in our lives and how we think, how he wants us to think. So, and this is part of why humility is so important in serving the Lord when it comes to doing the will of God. You've got to be receptive. You have to be alert. Not to what I want to do. That's easy. I can always bring that out. You can bring that. It's always there. It's part of you. You have to be receptive to someone else's plan outside of yours. That's God's will. What does he want for me? The only way you're ever going to stay in tune with that is to do just what you're doing right now. That's it. To be consistent, to be in tune with the Word of God, because it's a relational thing, remember? And you will begin to realize what he wants. What he wants for your life. And you know, without a doubt, that if you trust him in the circumstances, he will provide just what you desire. Because remember, he wants what you want if it's of benefit to you. Of course, if it's not sinful. He knows what you enjoy. He knows what blessings you want. He knows all those things. And he wants you to get to those things. But he's got to get you there spiritually first. He can't just get you there prematurely or temporarily. He doesn't want to give it, take it away. He wants to give it to you. He wants you to keep it. He wants you to be able to take care of it like you're very thankful for it. He wants you to be able to get to that position in your life where you're thankful for what you have. There's a lot of people that don't have what we have. You know that? And there's a reason for that. And it all goes back to the spiritual life. If you don't have and you do have, maybe we should check our spiritual lives. Because God isn't going to bless you with riches and money and things and all this stuff if you can't even handle it. I mean, what good is that? Because see, these things, these physical things that we have, if you're ready for them, those aren't the issue. Who cares about what we have? God provided and God will take away. God will use those things according to his will and his purpose. See, you thought it was just for you just to enjoy. That's not really why he gave it to you. It's really for part of something that has to do with his plan for your life. It may be fun and exciting, but hey, and it may be a blessing, it may be fun, but guess what? There's purpose behind it. And part of that is to keep your eyes on him. Keep focused on him. No, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm just telling you the reality. There's poor countries in this world and there's rich countries in this world. And it all goes back to spiritual growth. You deny God, you will be poor. As a country. And I'm not talking about eating out of a dumpster. You know what I'm talking about. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, verse 15, is in the perfect tense, which means, guess what? The process of knowing has already taken place And the results of that knowing are already in view here. You know. You know. Not you may know or you might not know. You know that He hears. And if we know that He hears us, perfect tense, we have, what do we know? That we have the request which we have asked from Him. So there's our word, request. That's the same word. Same word as in our Philippians 4:6. So, perfect tense, we can know that we have the needs and requests that we have asked from Him. And I think the key to all this goes back to God's will. Because we can say, well, no, I don't have it. Or, you know, God never gave it to me. And by the tone in your voice, I could tell you that that's your will and your timing. That was easy. All you had to do was tell me in that tone, oh, He didn't give it to me and it didn't happen at that time and that's not where I wanted to be. Well, see, that's where the distinction comes in. That's your will. That's not God's will. Now, coming to that agreement, that takes a little bit of sacrifice. It takes a little bit of understanding of who God is and why He loves you. And He has a better way, even though you may not see that at the beginning. But if you follow that and you just let that go, He knows you want that. He may bring that back up later. He might surprise you. You never know. But He's got to get you ready for it first. And the only way to do that is if we take a certain path to get there. And there's certain guidelines and bumpers He has to place on us and certain discipline along the way. But if we are receptive to that, you'll make it. You will get there. And God will bless you, no doubt in my mind. It sounds like to me we got the easy part in all this. You're thinking, man, this is rough. We got the easy part. Think about it. Since all we have to do is have a hunger for the truth and trust in God's abilities and decisions on our behalf. That's what you have going. That's what I have to do. That's what you have to do. Positive and trust. That's the spiritual life. Be positive and have faith. Show's over. That's it. That is really it. No joke. But a matter of fact, we've got to learn more in order to be faithful. So maybe there's a little bit of showing up every once in a while. Or listening every once in a while that comes with that. Prayer. I wanted to get a few points on prayer. Since we need to make everything known by prayer and supplication. Let's get a few points on prayer. We should never pray to get what we want or to get our own way. But we should always desire God's way and what He desires. And we discussed a little bit of that. But you have to really ask yourself when we pray, is this a temporal thing that I'm praying for? Is this something that isn't benefiting as far as the big picture is concerned, the plan of God? Or am I praying just for something that I may want that may benefit just me? There's a difference. There's a big difference there. What's the larger purpose and motivation of your prayer? It may be for healing. That's always a legitimate purpose. But what is God's purpose in that? What is He doing in that? If you take away that healing, that person might not have grown as much as they did in that time. We don't know. We just have to be in tune so we can be sensitive to these types of things. You don't pray to take away the discipline off of a country when that's what they need. You don't pray for a parent to stop spanking their child when that's what the child needs. What do? You say you pray for other things besides just removing it. There's a lot to pray for that goes into someone that's not doing very good because of divine discipline than taking it away. They need that in their lives. Or I need that, you need that, whatever. And when they need that, we can get creative and pray for something else. Because they need the strength. They need the ability to look in the right direction because God is trying to get them directed. There's a lot to pray in there. Even though I know we love them, we want to see them better. We don't like seeing them in that state. But see, that's where your will can get intermingled with the will of God. When feelings and emotion and love get involved, we can just pray for just the thing to be, get it out of there. Remove it. I don't like that. I love that person. Remove that. Well, it's a lot going on there. God has a purpose in this. He's got a plan. Prayer is actually mandated for all dispensations. For the Old Testament, it's found in Psalm 116, 1 and 2. And Jeremiah 33:3. And for the New Testament, it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, rejoice always. Pray, here's your imperative command, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's our command. Even though we have another one in our verse, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer has a divine procedure. It's directed to God the Father. We can see this in Matthew 6:9, Ephesians 1:17, 3:14, and 1 Peter 1:17. Prayer should be addressed in the name of God the Son. John 14:13 through 14. And then Hebrews 7:25. All prayer is made through the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. So what's the agenda for prayer? Well, we have confession. Of course, that's Psalm 66:18 and 1 John 1:9. Always start with that because we want to be in line with what the Scripture tells us. Then we have thanksgiving. That's Ephesians 5:20. And we also saw that in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. Thanksgiving. That's an important part of this. As we pray, as we introduce, get into prayer after confession, give thanks. Give thanks for what you have, what you don't have, what you've seen, what you haven't seen. It's all a reason to be thankful for. You may not know that, but give thanks for it. Because God knows exactly what's going on in everything. And really the attitude of thanksgiving, as we'll talk about later, that can only come from actually a genuine personal love for God. The more we love God, the more we have the ability to appreciate Him. And that is a fact. The more you know Him, the more you come to love Him, the more you realize, wow, I don't deserve this. But look what He's done. The more thankful we are, every day is a gift. You realize that? Every single day is a gift. And you've only got so many. It's grace. Also, don't forget about thanking Him for other people in your lives. Thank Him for the various circumstances you find yourself in. I know sometimes that's hard. But part of that includes faith. Just because I don't know or you may not know why that situation is there and you may even want it to leave, you've got to create that trust aspect because you may never bridge that gap of understanding. of what God is doing, at least on this side of heaven. So in order to bring peace to that, to advance through that, you've got to trust Him. Because the reality of it is, we can question or make requests all day, but what's happening, what we're in now, is not an accident. It's not. And what happened to you in the past is not an accident. Even if it was from our own bad decisions, it wasn't an accident. God still provided the means to see you through and allowed you to have purpose in that. See, He always has a purpose in everything. Even though we go off course, He's got purpose in that. There's a reason why. Yes, our own volition chose to go off into the tulies, but He's got purpose in it. Why? It's just to bring you right back. And it may even get worse, but as well, that goes back to the same thing. Then there's intercession, praying for others. 1 Kings 18, James 5, 16 through 18. I think we kind of already mentioned that in the Thanksgiving, didn't we? Intercession, praying for others. There's petition, praying for your own needs. Hebrews 4, 16. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That goes back to the step one, praying in the Spirit. Effective prayer requires faith. And we can even see this in our verse. "Stop worrying about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." There's a faith aspect there. You've got to trust the one who you're requesting from. And then there comes that will thing. There's always a desire on two ends of this. It's a matter of bringing those together. I'm not referring to trusting Him with what you want, because you'll take that, "Well, I prayed about this and I had faith in that and it didn't happen." Well, you broke that down way at step one. That was off of your will. Pray in accordance with God's will for your life. And trust that He will bring that to fruition. Yes, that includes you. Prayer takes place through faith, which relies and trusts in God. Mark 11:24 says, "All things for which you ask in prayer, believe that you shall receive them, and they shall be given to you." We're not just excluded from this process. There's a reason why we're told to request. Why God wants to know about these things. God already knows. But see, we have a part to play in this. We've got a volition. We have a relational aspect of this. And we can go for weeks, days, months with ignoring our prayer life. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to make it known. Make these things known. Because that comes back to knowing Him. You want to spend time talking, letting Him know your problems. You know, it's a lot easier to go through life and saying, "Okay, I did my part," than saying, "Okay, I missed out on this, this, and this, and I should have done this." If you pray and make that known to God, you've done your part. As long as you have faith and trust in Him that He's going to work that out. That's another aspect of that. But at least get that prayer, that request out there. Because remember the ultimatum, worry or make your request known. There's no other options. Because we can't take that and reverse that into something else. We're just going to keep it and we're going to worry about it. A lot of times what we do is we'll tell people about it. That's usually our solution. But look right here. Tell Him about it. See how much more magnified the solution becomes? So effective prayer, needless to say, includes your spiritual growth. 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we've been saying you first have to know the will of God. Have to know what we're doing here. Why we're here. Our purpose. And that only comes through the teaching of the Word of God. When we shut that piece out of our lives, it's impossible to have a clue about the Word of God. That applies to me. That applies to every human being on this earth. The teaching of the Word of God. Can't tell you how important that is. How important that is. And it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with God's Word and what He's provided us. That's it. First John 3:22 says, furthermore, whatever we have asked, we have received from Him because we continue to execute His mandates and we keep on doing what is pleasing in His sight. Remember, how are we to be pleasing? Through faith, trusting. And the more you grow, the more your will and volition come into alignment with God's. Not because of us, but because of what we can find in Christ, in His Word. That's how we come into alignment with Him. I know y'all are thinking, oh boy, this is going to be a wingdinger. God provides all through this. God provides blessings, and this blessings may not be physical. This prosperity may not be what you see, but when you have something internal and you can be happy about that, that's more important than anything in this world that you can ever see. And that's what God provides us along the way. So yeah, you may sacrifice something physical, but look what God is doing through that physical. He's just allowing you to sit back in the chair and just look at what He's doing and say, wow, He did it again. And He's going to keep doing that. He will keep doing that if you just let Him do it. You've got to let Him do it. He wants to work on your behalf, but the problem is we always step in His way and start to worry about it. That's just taking the problem back from God and saying, I'll take that back. Worry is not the faith rest life. It's not. It's the complete opposite. It's our solution to I don't know what. It's no solution. So I'm not sure you caught this, but we just talked about praying according to God's will in 1 John 5:14, and then we heard, remember in 1 Thessalonians, we heard, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And now we have in our verse, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. All these things are injecting thanksgiving into this equation. Thanksgiving. So if you're wondering what the will of God is, here's part of it. Are you thankful for what you have? That's important. We can go so long walking through this life and not be thankful for what we have. We can do it very easily. Most people do it because this isn't an attitude that you come by overnight. This takes a relationship. This takes knowing what God has for you and what God has designed and why He has it there, and you're thankful for it. The Christian life is the only thing in the world that can be thankful for both the good and the bad. Because it has purpose. It has meaning. And when you understand that, the suffering, the pain becomes diminished. I'm not saying it goes away, but see, mind over matter, what's more important to you? We should be thankful in the good and the bad. That's the Christian way of life. That's what God has designed. That's why it's a spiritual growth aspect. It's a soul thing. It's not based on this, what we have out here. Yes, we have to live this life. We have to grow spiritually, but it's in here. It's what God has provided in here. So we got to ask ourselves a question. Are we thankful? That goes back to spiritual growth. Have you grown enough to come to the point of realizing of what to be thankful for? Are we thankful for all that rain that everybody wanted to stop? Are we thankful for when it's 105 degrees outside? Believe me, God is doing everything for a purpose, and it always is for our benefit. And I think it's for everyone's benefit. Whether it be for the unbeliever who's rejecting him, something's meant to get him to focus on God, or whether it's for us to get us to do something within the plan of God. Whether it be focus, whether it be something small that we need to say or do, maybe we need to reach out. God is working the circumstances for your benefit. Always. If we would live every day by that, I cannot tell you how much our attitudes would change. Can you imagine? That's happiness. Being thankful every single day, waking up with thanksgiving for what you have. How much more do we need? We don't. God loves you too much to give you that. And that's something to be thankful for. It really is. We just need to think about it. It's way above our superficial, temporary thoughts sometimes. It's not about just this little thing that we want. It's not even, that's so far away from God's thinking. If you could just sit down and say, well, let me tell you why. We'd be like, what? That's why you did that? We'd probably just start crying. Because we were felt so bad that we wanted something else. We weren't thankful. We wanted out, you know, we wanted the bigger, the better. And God was saying, this is what I was trying to do here. And you just completely missed it. Let's not miss it. We're not here to miss this life that God has designed for us. So, before I go, I can see the eyes are glassing over a little bit. Getting closer to lunch, so. I understand that. Because I like to eat too. So, let's close in prayer with that note. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just allowing us to see your plan, allowing us to be a part of it. And we just pray that we can continue to grow and just be thankful for everything that you're doing for us. Even though we make bad decisions, we can be thankful in knowing that you provide provision. Your love is always there waiting for us with open arms, to benefit us, to bless us, to allow us to get back on track. And there are times when we need things that we might not know or think we need, but we just need to realize and be thankful for them, because you have them there for a purpose. You can include them for a purpose, and you can take away for a purpose. And we just pray that we can trust in your timing, trust in your abilities, because we know they are absolute. We thank you for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Did I say with it? First John 1:9. Okay, yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, there was two of them. Psalm 66:18. 66.